What does it look like to actually heal through the body?
So what that looks like from the very beginning is learning how to ground yourself daily in everyday moments. Most of the time, people aren't even don't even touch into their body. They're just in their head, and that's how they're living. So how to get to the point of where you're in tune with your body is using your five senses. It can be very simple.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Are you spending too much money on ads? Want to increase your average order value? Are you eyeing that big exit from your business? Or have you been wondering how you can increase your lifetime value, build a community, and basically make more money through customer loyalty and retention? Let us help. Huckleberry Consulting brings over a decade of experience in client and customer success from the world's biggest companies. Let your customers tell you what they want. Visit consulthuckleberry.com to claim your free audit and quit leaving money on the table. Once again, that's consulthuckleberry.com. See you there.
All right. Good morning to everyone. It's another happy Monday here at None of Your Business. If you are listening from your car, happy driving. If you're listening on the way to work, or maybe work is just a few desks away or another table away, just in your house, enjoying that location independent life, which is all we are about here at None of Your Business. Today is a very special day as I have a conversation that not a lot of us might be having in our daily lives. So my guest today is a trauma coach, grounded spiritual mentor, and author of Unbroken, a raw memoir about surviving childhood sexual abuse, remembering repressed trauma, and healing through the body. She helps survivors connect to their truth through somatic work, nervous system regulation, emotional integration, and spiritual guidance. Gabrielle's work is raw, real, and rooted in deep lived experience. She's not here to sugarcoat healing. She'll give us hashtag real talk, and she's here to walk beside people through it. So Gabrielle is actually a friend of mine that I met here in Playa del Carmen, and she's about to release her debut memoir, Unbroken, this coming August 18. We're super excited for it. We'll link it in the show notes if you want to support her, if you want to pre-order a copy. It is a great, close to my heart Bible for how to heal with trauma. And I know that as entrepreneurs, this is something that we might tend to just brush under the rug. So now we're here to talk about it. So ladies and gentlemen, Gabriella Cacciatore. How are you, Gabriella?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm super excited because when I met you, I remember you just have a very positive, very smiley, very happy aura that if I didn't know your story, I actually still don't know probably 90% of it, I wouldn't think that something traumatic happened to you, especially when you were a kid. So I guess my first question would be, what was the eye-opening moment for you when you were like, you know what, I gotta tell my story to the world?
So yeah, so I've done a lot of healing work, and that is why I exude this energy. But prior to that, so I am going to be 34 years old on the day of my book launch. But when I was 25 years old, I was just in so much pain. And prior to that, I was so miserable. I had so much anxiety, didn't understand why. And everyone was like, "What's wrong with you?" And I was like, "I don't know. I wish I knew." And so when I had this pain, and I was reading a book, and it was talking about all this pain and this and that, and in part of it said a lot of people with repressed trauma, until they acknowledge it, will have pain in their body. And that was the first moment that I was like, "Oh my God, this is me. This is what's happening to me." And in that moment, the pain lifted that had not gone away for months. I was in excruciating pain for 3 to 4 months prior to that.
So when you say excruciating pain, like a physical pain.
Yes, a physical pain, a physical and emotional, but it was actually I always had emotional pain, so I was used to coexisting with it. But this pain I had was in my neck and in my back. And like anything that I did to try to get better wouldn't work. I did acupuncture, I did massage, or neurologist, and nothing helped.
Tylenol, everything.
Everything. You name it, I tried it.
Oh my gosh, that is insane because it is like a physical manifestation of that pain and trauma. And actually, that's also something that I l realized later in life that a lot of our illnesses are manifestations of something emotional and something that we're dealing with, like psychologically. Thank you for sharing that story. Unbroken, your book. Unbroken is such a powerful title. What does that word mean to you now, especially after everything your body and soul have walked through?
Well, to me, it means that I was never broken to begin with, that I experienced a severe amount of trauma that made me feel like there was something wrong with me, but nothing was wrong with me except the trauma that I endured. So underneath that all, I was unbroken the entire time. The path back to myself and the path back to wholeness and oneness within myself is where the title came from.
I like that. I like that. And it's also kind of, it's twofold, right? You believe that you were not broken in the first place, but it also inspires healing from people who may think they're broken. And then there's something, there's like a hope, a message of hope out there so that they can, you know, that there's someone here to help. So in your book and like in your daily practice, you talk about body-led healing. So for someone used to like thinking their way through everything, that's basically me most of my life. And a lot of our listeners, probably entrepreneurs that are natural problem solvers, we're so used to using logic to heal everything or even like catastrophizing things in our life. What does it look like to actually heal through the body?
So what that looks like from the very beginning is learning how to ground yourself daily in everyday moments. Most of the time, people don't even touch into their body. They're just in their head, and that's how they're living. So how to get to the point of where you're in tune with your body is using your five senses. It can be very simple. Something that I started with was like essential oils. I would rub it on my wrist, and I would sniff it throughout the day to get myself attuned. The smell to come into my body. And then I could notice, okay, what am I feeling when I sniff that? Because that's how I'm feeling in that moment. Holding a crystal, chewing mints, anything that sparks
A
something
sensation.
sensation within you.
I see. That's really good advice. Some of the things that I remember that was also taught to me by someone I work with was like massaging the back of your neck or something like that. Like I definitely learned about the essential oils too. Finding colors, certain colors in your surroundings, like if you think like red, and then like just be more aware of your surroundings and like point out the color red. And it's also, and then counting backwards also, I think was a good way to even like survive a panic attack if you're alone. Someone also taught me that. So there's a lot of tools and there's a lot of ways that we can kind of help ourselves, for lack of a better term. And I like that. I like what you shared. You know, keep it simple, use your five senses. And some people also use like auditory, right? Like they have like a playlist that makes them feel good about themselves or that inspires them, and it just changes your state. Of course, you can talk about however much you want to talk about, but I know that in your book and in your story, it includes like repressed trauma resurfacing. So I reckon that could be terrifying. Can you walk us through what that moment was like and how someone might recognize signs that their body remembers more than their mind does?
Yeah, absolutely. It was both terrifying and liberating at the same time. Meaning the first memory I had was of a flash. So I saw an image and it almost made everything make sense for me, right? I was like, "Oh, this makes sense," but it also brought up this deep grief of, "Oh my God, my whole life is a lie. Like I've been living from this wound and this is what I've been running off of." So it brought up immense pain. And getting in tune with your body and almost accepting the one of the most challenging parts I have found with myself and clients is you have this memory and then you say, that couldn't have happened to me. And you can get to a point where you just kind of accept it. You don't have to accept it and be like, this is fantastic, but accept it as it is. It can then show itself in the body. And you can recognize like, oh, okay, this was real for me in the past, and I have been operating from this throughout my whole life. Another part of it too is like once you accept it, more can come. It's different for everyone, right? I'm not saying that my experience is going to be everyone's experience, but from my experience, it started as a flash, and then it would play as a movie over weeks, and then it would, be a full circle where I would feel everything, see everything, and then it would process through me.
So it's like it's almost like you're describing a person who has suffered amnesia, and then now they're remembering memories in pieces. And you did share that you're 30 something. I'm 30 something too. And I have these experiences of remembering a fraction of a memory, but I'm not sure if it was real or a dream. And then I also have experiences of completely losing memories of important milestones in my life, like my college graduation. I think we chatted about this when we first met. Like after the pandemic, I got depressed and then I totally lost my memories about my college graduation that I had to tell my sister in panic. Can you look at our Google Photos or our Dropbox from like 2009 and see if I graduated college? And it took me to a moment where I wasn't sure that I graduated college, and then I realized I was a professor and I taught, and it would be impossible for me to teach at a university without a degree, but I still wasn't sure if I graduated. So do you have an answer for that? Like, how do you delineate between like a real memory or something that was just probably like a dream or a product of your subconscious?
Well, your body knows, right? But there's also everyone has different parts of themselves, right? At different points of our lives, different parts of ourselves were created. And they could be just for the part of you that went to school, the part of you that was a kid, the part of you is this. Also, on the contrary, if something, it doesn't have to be a big trauma, it could be a small trauma, you can then split off from that part of you and create a new part. Where then that part is now running the show, right? And a lot of times people don't recognize when they're hurt, they don't process their emotions fully. And this new part is now operating and running from this wound so that it's trying to protect you. And it's not trying to hurt you, but it's trying to make sure that that everything's okay because of the thing that you experienced that hurt you in the moment that you did not fully process. Okay? So sometimes what can happen is you get triggered, and it can be something so stupid and small that you don't even realize trigger. Maybe it was something that was in the room when something happened. It could be a light, it could be a vacuum, and then or it could be weeks, months, or years where you're then running in that part, and you don't even recognize that you're in that part, and that part of you could be blocking off your memories. So
And there's no pinpointing what it is.
exactly, only you can by getting in tune with yourself and your body, because there's no one around you to be like, you're being this way, unless they're reflecting it back to you with unless you ask them,
With
you know?
precision also.
Yes,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy. I feel like there's a universe inside our bodies that we don't even know. And we can really do our best, and with the help of like people like you that can help us learn more about ourselves, and maybe like therapy, or for some people, reading the Bible, you know, like whatever is like their way to kind of walk themselves home is very different. So, let's talk about like entrepreneurs from different walks of life. How do trauma and hustle, like the hustle culture, intersect? Do you think that a lot of entrepreneurs are unknowingly running businesses from a nervous system stuck in survival?
100%. Absolutely. And I think a lot of people run from their wounds and they don't even realize that their wounds are what's showing up and running their business. Meaning, if they feel like they're not enough, then they're overachieving. Or they dealt with a narcissistic parent that they didn't deal with that trauma. And then there's narcissism within their company that is, you know, getting portrayed back at them. You know, maybe there's a smear campaign. Maybe there's this. There's all, everything has a purpose and a reason, especially in business. Because when you're running a business, you are the business. And how you do one thing is how you do everything. So it's going to leak out if you're not wary of your energy. And that's not to scare anyone, but it is encouraging to look at what you've experienced in your life because it can show up. And it's better to just process what you're feeling and what you've experienced. And to just be like, no, I'm just going to keep go, go, which you see a lot of the time where you can get really successful, but then there's that burnout or there's that big crash where something where that wound comes up in a different way to have a corrective experience and you don't notice it because you are so entrenched in your work, per se.
So for businesses that may have like a limited number of people, say they have like 5 people or 10 people, and they may not even have like an HR person, how can these teams learn how to maybe process these emotions better? What are some things that we can maybe do at home? Or if I was the owner of this small business, maybe I can tell my team, hey, let's do this activity. It will help us like process our stuff better.
Yeah, absolutely. So if there was a small business, right, I would encourage everyone to, you know, if first of all, if there's a problem, come and speak about it, right? If you want to like implement a system per se, like you go home, be like, I encourage you all to write down how you're feeling during the day, whether it's negative or positive, and I'd really like you to just, you know, make it part of like the homework or whatever. Like sit with yourself for 5 minutes,
I
let
like
yourself
that.
into like what really went on during the day. We're not saying that every day is going to be great and every day is not going to be bad, but there are going to be triggers for everyone because it's life. And one thing that I like to re recommend to anyone is when you're feeling something or if you don't know what you're feeling is like check in with yourself and give whatever you're feeling in your body a color, right? Say you feel like a pain in your heart. People will call it anxiety, they might call it fear. I would say, okay, let's show it as black. And I would say, move that energy from your heart all the way down to your feet to move it through your body so that you're not carrying it with you throughout the day or when you're sleeping.
I like
And that's
that.
a process the emotion so that it's not stuck in your body. Because everyone is trying to think with their heads, but their body is the energy that they're creating from.
I like that. I really like that. That is a very good idea or tip, because in the workplace, the traumas are also reflected in how we deal with each other, right? In the same way that we ref our traumas affect how we deal with our spouses, our best friends, the people we meet, and the real situ and it taints the real situation, because we just have some things that we are not processing correctly, and so we assume motivations, we assume like intentions that are not even correct. So I really like that tip. So encourage your teammates to look inwards, sit with themselves, spend some quiet time, and then if they're feeling something heavy, assign a collar and try to move it through your body to and also I like that exercise, because it reminds you that the power is yours. Reminds you that you can do something about it, and it's not like you can take a pill and it will go away. So you mentioned in the past that because of the trauma that you experienced, you couldn't even leave the house. What was your personal turning point and the moment where your healing went from like internal chaos to intentional reclamation?
So when I couldn't leave the house, it was at the beginning when I was remembering everything. I was turning into a 3-year-old and like attached to my parents' hips. I ended up doing this what's called dialectical behavior therapy, which then gave me a little more tools for grounding, but also words to put to what I was experiencing. And that helped me shift more from the child that I kept turning into and more coexisting with the adult that was inside. But what really helped me take my power back is when I moved away from home. A year and a half after I remembered everything, I reported the abuse and then I got in a car a month later and I drove to California and I didn't come home for years. And it was helpful for me to get out of the environment where I wasn't necessarily hurt in my home, but remembering the trauma was traumatic enough. It was trauma on top of trauma. Like it was probably, I struggled with remembering the trauma more than the trauma itself because I didn't remember it. You know what I mean? It was very, it really knocked me off my center because there were so many parts to it. Like there was a lot of stuff that and stuff, so
No, I totally hear you. It's just these little triggers and environments, and like what you said, like it could just be a color, a logo, like something that will bring it back. When my dad passed away, which was my first big trauma in my life, I couldn't even drive by the intersection of the hospital where he passed away for a while. And I would, it's so funny because it's like a major intersection in my city, and I would have to go through like these little roads around it, and it was very inefficient, but I just like I couldn't bring myself to do it for a time. I think probably for 2 years. Well, then after that, I was able to do it, but I would still cry. And then after that, you know, I just like year after year, I just kind of like try to get used to it. But it's definitely not like a linear path. And you mentioned this word multiple times, grounding. What does that mean, by the way?
it means grounding into your body. It means coming home into yourself, seeing how you're feeling, being in the present moment. I feel like that gets lost in translation a lot. Grounding is being present. It's just being here now, looking around.
So, aside from healing from your trauma, there's also another very famous kind of phrase that's been used in this space, and that is spiritual awakening. So, spiritual awakening and like trauma healing often come together in strange, sacred timing. How did your spiritual journey influence how you processed and integrated your trauma?
So my spiritual awakening came about, I want to say, a year after I remembered my trauma. I've always believed in God or something greater. When I started learning about like, oh, this is something, I started noticing like that, oh, that everything I'm experiencing is because of me. Oh, like I have this co-creative power with the universe. And it can be used for me or still for me, but for me to learn a lesson. So within that, I learned like, yes, you can create and manifest, but also you will also create and manifest these corrective experiences, I like to call them, meaning your trauma comes back up or an old pattern comes back up for you to make a different choice about it to then close that cycle. And that's been the most eye-opening part for me, meaning like, oh, I had this big awakening, I'm like, oh, I think and it comes and this and that, but also I don't think and it comes and it's shown to me again. And now I need to decide how I want to deal with what is presented with me. And to me, spiritual awakening is realizing that you are the creator of your own reality and that you have the power to choose.
Yeah, I really like that because once again, at the end of the day, it's like these negative feelings come from a feeling of like helplessness and a feeling of being alone, maybe, and a feeling of also like, how is this so hard and how am I the only one feeling this, completely unaware that everyone else has their own sets of hardship, right? And so just knowing that there's so many tools that you can use, there's so many things that you can do, and of course, the fact that it is possible to heal from your trauma and even get to a point of spiritual awakening all on your own, it is possible. I mean, obviously getting help is great, but doing it on your own, all on your own is possible. So a lot of entrepreneurs, because we are such problem solvers, it's typical for us to deal with problems by automatically hiring a consultant or buying something. And sometimes that would be for trauma healing, like talking to a therapist, like regular talks with a therapist. And a lot of people think that that is healing, but what does really real, like messy, embodied healing look like from your the work that you do with your clients?
Yeah, so again, talking to a therapist is great, but once you hit a point where you're talking about your trauma or your problems, you're just creating those feelings more and more in your body and you're perpetuating it. There is a space for venting, and there is also a space where it can be overdoing it. With my clients, bring them into their body, and when we're talking about something, asking them how it makes them feel. Right. And then we get into different parts of themselves. Okay. When was the first time that you can remember feeling this? And a lot of the times it's from childhood. Right. So then we work with these parts that come up of them that they didn't even notice that they were acting like an 11-year-old, per se, that someone at school told them that their paper was bad. So then they're trying to say, you know? So we work with the parts of them. We work with the energy of the body. And we also work energetically, meaning, there's a lot of guided visualizations of reclamation of the past and cancellation spiritually of the thing. So, what happens when you fragment from yourself, if you experience a trauma, a part of you gets stuck in over here, right? And it's still living over there. And you can talk about it and talk about it and be like, I'm over it, but it's like, no, girl, you're still over here. And it's you need to bring it here to then process it through here. So I do a lot of work with people to teach them how to then reclaim these and bring them into their body so that they're not energetically floating all over the place. And all the work that I do with people is empowering them to do it. Like, I'm not doing anything, I'm guiding them to do it on themselves. Because healing is not from a healer, healing is from yourself, in my opinion and in my experience.
And it's also like, you don't want them to think that they can't heal without you, right? Like, first of all, that is a very slippery slope to be in, and that's why, I really appreciate the work that you do. You're working with them to build that muscle, basically, and then you're guiding them to what they might have missed in the books, in the talks of the therapist, and now they can get it with you. So I'm curious, just from a business perspective or from a business standpoint, how do your clients find you? How do you like meet these people, and how do they decide that they want to work with you versus someone else?
Yeah, a lot of my clients come from Instagram or word
Oh,
of
nice.
mouth. Yep, it's a lot of referrals. I don't take on many clients as I am selective with who I work with and be at a certain place where they want to reclaim power of their own lives, right? They're not just looking for help, they're ready to take that step. So mostly referrals and people who resonate with my story. It's been a lot of there's a difference between coaching and therapy, right? Where I can then relate to them and not necessarily telling them everything that I've been through, but it makes you feel more comfortable when you can sit across from someone and be like, oh, you've been through this, you've healed from this, I feel safe enough, and it gives me hope, opposed to a therapist who's like just telling you X, Y, and Z, this is how you do it. I'm showing you how to do it for yourself in your own way, and everyone's process looks different, and I am in space for that as well.
So for our listeners today and our entrepreneurs who are used to maybe like consuming self-help books or even TikToks or videos about healing from trauma, and they sometimes they feel like they've done the work. quote unquote, but sometimes they also still feel stuck. In your experience as a coach, as a healer, what might be missing from their healing puzzle?
They're not listening to themselves. They think that listening and taking in information is healing, and it's not. What healing is integration of the things that you're taking in, right? One of the first things I tell people when they come see me is I'm like, stop watching this, stop listening to that, and start tuning into yourself. You could be reading all these things that are so helpful for other people, but what if that doesn't work for you? And what if you've been your meals being like, oh, I'm not like them, it worked for them, why didn't it work for me? When the answer is right here in your heart, waiting for you to just listen to your own body.
That's true. That's true. I totally agree because I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs have a very outward problem-solving band-aid attitude, me included. I've wasted so much money trying to do something in sales and in marketing, and then I realized that when I would stop doing all of that and I would just look inward, like talk to my clients, talk to my team, or even like myself, ask myself, do I even want to scale that much? Is my body, or my mental space ready for that kind of scale? And then I realized that I don't want to grow that big and that fast. And that answer didn't come until I was just like really looking inwards and asking myself, is that something I even really want? Because of course, especially online entrepreneurs where we consume tons of media, we can get like, overwhelmed, and they can really like confuse us and confuse us even into wanting something we might not even want. So let's talk about your book. I know you have a GoFundMe right now. You're preparing for the launch. I know it's not just a personal milestone for you, but also it's a collective mission. Tell me something about this mission and who are you really trying to reach?
So, a lot of times when it comes to child sexual abuse, there's a lot of shame. There's a lot of guilt and shame that is not on the survivor, but it is internalized because they were told to keep quiet. They were told not to tell, that no one would believe them. And the idea behind it is helping others put their energy towards pushing themselves toward themselves, pushing them to expose this, energetic parasite so that we can heal from it. What is in the shadow is only grows and grows and grows. So the idea is to have the energy behind it so that you're part of something way bigger than yourself. Like, it's not just about me, it's about others. There's so many people out there who, when I first came with my story, they were like, me too, but I've never told anyone. And it's like, how many out there like that? And it's to take away the shame and to know that you're not alone and that there is a path to, not even just healing, just like being happy and being. Like, we talk a lot about healing all the time. Well, you're healed, but it's like, how can you just be present in your everyday life and enjoy what you have?
And I know it's not that easy to also like share your story. You mentioned the word shame a couple of times, and especially for women, that is such a big consideration. Like, think about how many rapes and how many types of sexual abuse are not reported just because the woman is ashamed, or even men. I bet that happens. So I actually know a friend of mine, a guy friend of mine that got sexually abused, but he couldn't talk about it because it was so embarrassing. He couldn't take the shame, and so he's just like living with this trauma and he just has to kind of deal with it. And I hope that he does have tools or finds relief, or maybe finds a therapist that can help him. But you're right, like the more that we talk about it and we let it out in the open, the more that we can be more accepting that this can happen, but there is a way out of it. So how are your interactions with a lot of like trauma survivors or people who have trauma? And in your work with them, what's something that you wish they knew that maybe no one told you in your darkest moments?
That you can trust yourself, that even if it feels like you made it up, or that it can't be real, that it is, and that there is a way through, and that you will be okay, and that it will be messy, and it won't be easy, it will be challenging, but you can do it, and every day is worth it. Just be in the moment as much as you can, and know that what happened to you is not your life or not your story. There is so much more to you than what happened to you.
Yeah, I really like that. You mentioned trust yourself. It's so easy to talk about it, but for some people, and I bet even for you and I, there are times that that was very difficult to do. There are people who don't trust themselves because of the choices they've made in the past. Like I have a friend who's had a string of bad boyfriends, and now she has these like negative ideas about relationships and how, you know, she's not young or hot enough. She will never find a good guy. Every guy's a cheater and blah, blah, blah. If you are someone who's had like maybe a string of bad decisions, or maybe even just one or two bad decisions that you've lost the ability to trust yourself, what can you do to improve like that self-trust or to slowly walk back to that space again?
Yeah, so it, through the little things, making promises to yourself and then keeping them.
Oh, I like
Like, I'm
that.
gonna work today, and then you go do it, or I'm gonna do X, Y, and Z, and then you keep that promise to yourself. And it's just
Right.
very small, you know?
Yeah, give yourself
That's
evidence.
exactly. Your brain needs evidence to then create a new neural pathway. So the more you can do something small like that, the bigger it can be. Right. And then on the other end of the spectrum, it's like you just have to process all that you felt when all these people have disappointed you or betrayed you or they're not good enough. And then from your new thought process, like, oh, I can trust myself, then you can create from a different energy.
Nice. I like that. So it's not really like, it's not a big thing. It's just a million little things. And then you just kind of build confidence in yourself again. And once, even if it's like one of those things where you improve yourself like 1% every day, eventually you're going to be a whole, there's going to be a whole new you in 100 days, basically. So I really like that. A lot of us are super excited about your book, Gabriella. So tell us what it would be like to read it. What's the experience like, and who is it for?
It's an experience. There's three different parts of the book, right? So at the beginning it's a little heavier, and then in the middle it's a little messy because that's how my journey went. And at the end there's the reclamation. So it's kind of like a little roller coaster there, where you're going down, you go back up, and then you go down. It is liberating. It is for anyone who's experienced any type of trauma and feels like that they can't come out of it, or that their life is never going to be the same. And that there is life after trauma, and there is hope, there is joy. It may look different than what you thought, but at the end of the day, you still get to choose how you show up in the world.
Yeah, I think that getting over trauma, healing from trauma is not linear. It's not a linear journey. And I could also not imagine someone cockily saying that they have zero trauma. I think that rich or poor, wherever you come from, whichever country, culture, whatever, I think everyone has trauma. It's because there's just things in our lives that we can't control and that happens. And so finally, for our listeners, what is one practice, belief, or mantra that you personally return to when life gets hard again?
Oh, everything is always working out for me.
Oh, I
I
love
tell
that.
myself that all the time. It doesn't matter when, that is my dominant thought. Anytime I have a negative thought, that's what I remind myself. Everything's working out for me. Oh, yeah,
Yeah.
that's right. Yeah, that feels good.
Yeah, exactly. So it goes back to that sense of trusting yourself and even trusting like the universe or God or whatever you believe in that's bigger than you. And yeah, the other mantra that I remember is everything happens for me and not to me, right? Which is also a similar kind of version of what you said. So I really like that. It is a very good kind of relieving statement, but also optimistic about whatever else is happening or will be happening in my life. So, wow, thank you so much, Gabriella. That was just very refreshing and awesome conversation. I think that a lot of business owners can really relate to everything we talked about, and even if you don't have a business, if you've experienced some trauma in your life, I think that you've definitely shared a lot of golden nuggets here and even like practices that they can take home, maybe even teach to their children that are really, really awesome. So I know a lot of people will be curious to find you and think about working with you. Of course, a lot. I definitely recommend working with Gabriella. How can they find you, and how can they find your work, and how can they buy Unbroken when it comes out?
Amazing. Yes. So you can find me on Instagram at GABCACC, GabCatch. My email is there. We're currently working on a website. It will be GabriellaCacciatore.com. And then my book will be available on Amazon and Instabooks. Also will be available on WakenVillagePress.com.
Okay, what about Kindle?
So yes, you
That's
can get it
included.
on. Yes.
Perfect,
Yep.
perfect. I love that. So everyone around the world literally can have access to this book, and it could, I know that it could provide you guys like a soft landing towards whatever you're feeling or whatever you feel like you're recovering from. There's someone out there that has gone through a difficult time and can show you some of the tools that she's used so that you can heal yourself without and trust yourself more. So August 18, this book will come out. Mark your calendars, and even if it's not exactly August 18, you know it's going to be available on Amazon, Kindle, and we will link all of those important links, including Gabriella's Instagram, so you can follow her and watch her do some pull-ups like I do. She's a fitness girly and a pickleball champion. So that's also, her page is actually very entertaining. So definitely give her a follow. Thank you, Gabriella.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.